Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 47. And guys, I have a little surprise for you. Okay. Hi, Sheila.
Okay.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Lawrence.
Do you know Nathan, the crazy Italian guy?
Hey, Nate.
Say hello.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi,
Yo,
Nathan.
Yo, what he say, dude? What he say, Pittsburgh? What he say?
I love your energy.
Great, and I'm great that I'm here with you guys. Let's go Steelers.
Thank you, Nathan.
It's always about the Steelers.
Yeah.
Do that.
How many cups of coffee do you have a day? I do four.
Bro, no. It's just all natural, bro.
God bless you.
Thank God you don't have any.
I'm
God bless
you. I don't need that. I have one cup in the morning, though. That's it. I have one cup. I have one pre-workout before I go to the gym, and that's it. I don't want to overload on that stuff. You know
Good for
saying?
You, man.
And that's you awesome, are man. A diehard Steelers fan. Win, lose, and you're telling us don't give up the ship.
Bro, there's no way you could give it up. Like, we got the spark that we need right now. Like, Kenny's in there. I know he threw them a couple picks there. He should have been in there from the beginning. It's going to be fine. The guys are going to rally around him now. The talent is there. It's right there. Got to make a couple play calls. He's going to air that. These receivers going to catch it. The defense is going to step up even more. DJ comes back. Forget about it. But they're going to step up. Next guy up. That's what the Steelers do. No fair weatherness.
No fair weatherness. And I want Sheila like and Jim to know that you are a Night of the Living Dead aficionado. And this is the season, right? You know all these spots around town.
My favorite time of year, bro. My favorite time of year. I did an episode of Horrors Hollow Grounds with Sean Clark. He has his thing on YouTube. And he still ain't put it out yet. He's taking forever to edit this thing. We went to all the locations. I got him in George Romero's old building.
Okay.
It's on Lawyers Row. And they don't let nobody up there. But, you know, Jenny and Joe, you know, he's the man. He got us in there. It's going to be exclusive. Nobody, one camera crew got up there in the past, and they filmed it like from another building's roof. We were the first ones to actually get up there. We went in the basement where Night of the Living Dead 54 years ago.
Wow!
And this basement still looks the same. It was the greatest thing because they renovated the building, but not the basement. And it was such a great experience to get down there.
My basement still looks the same too, but that's a different story. All right, Nate. Before you go. You're an Italian guy. You got to recommend some Italian restaurants around town where you want people to go.
Oh, man. Listen, I go to my mother's house for that. You know what I'm saying?
She's the best sauce.
Cooking, I go home, man. Ain't nothing going to top that. But, you know, La Famiglia up there on Mount Washington or down the road. It ain't actually Mount Washington's Come Sigal down the street there. But
La Famiglia, right? Yeah, I like it too.
You get massive proportions up there. That's especially the sauce is good, and you get massive proportions. Because one thing I hate, you go in there, you get a little bit. You know what I mean? You go up there, you get your fill for sure.
Absolutely,
Nate
I agree.
Is
check out. I make sure I do the you know, you're talking about the Night of Living Dead stuff and that, and I have some of that posted. Check out my Instagram, Nate the Crazy Italian Guy.
Okay.
And then I always do Steeler videos. My Night of Living Dead stuff is on there and everything like that. And I got a good one. You got to check out the most recent one because I'm the Dark Yinzer, dude. You know what I'm saying? It goes to Halloween. You got to go all three guys.
What are you going for?
Give us a little teaser, Dark Yinzer.
Dude, the Gibster, the booing last week is what created him. I heard boos in the crowd. I heard fair weatherness. They forced my alter ego to come at the Dark Answer. I'll descend upon all fair weatherness and bring punishment to it. It won't be tolerated in my city. You ride or die with the Steelers, no matter what. You never boo your team. You never boo them. That's our team. And your loyalty never swerves.
I love it.
Nate, the crazy Italian guy. Great to catch up with you. I'll catch you on the flip-flop. Ciao.
I'll catch you on the flip side for sure. You're the best, Larry.
Bye, Nate.
See you, Nate.
Thanks.
See you later, guys. See you.
He's awesome, man.
Okay, so he doesn't drink coffee. What else does he
Yeah, that's, he's got a great energy, man. I love his energy, and I love his enthusiasm.
I told you.
They got to put him, Thomas, you know, put him in the halftime talk.
Who? John Ceretti.
Is that John?
Oh. John's son.
Okay. And I love John, yeah.
Nate, he's got big arms, and he's...
I probably met Nate somewhere along the line.
Oh, you
John's
have.
House or
you
something,
just don't
sure.
know you have.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's great. Great
but that's
energy.
His shtick.
Yeah, it's...
And I asked him about...
Pittsburgh.
You know,
I love it.
He doesn't want to do anything controversial. He says, I just want to be that Italian guy in the neighborhood, you know. Well, you heard him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Pittsburgh man.
Yeah, wants his mom's
diehard
sauce.
Steeler. And, well, that's true with the spaghetti sauce. Like, my mom's spaghetti sauce, I have to have. Like, everybody likes their mom's spaghetti. Now, if you go to a restaurant, like, there's two ways. You can get a sweet or like the more tomato-y.
More savory,
Yeah, so I like more slightly more sweet because Lou
well,
makes
here's
more
the
sweet,
crazy
sweet.
Part. I married into a Italian-American family. I didn't really know the extent of the menu. When,
sure.
When they started with calamari, I'm like, what is that?
And then the seven fishes.
Do they do the seven
Christmas?
Fishes?
Oh, yeah,
Christmas?
They, all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I was like a roast and potato, you know.
Right.
I have Irish and German roots.
Me
you just
too.
Didn't
That's
know.
That's the way I was
Is
raised.
That, and what about you, Jim?
Italian and Polish. Great, great cuisine.
Cindy's Italian and Polish.
Yes. I had both the
She
both
made
sides
me an offer.
Wonderful.
I couldn't understand. Whoa. So I
married her. Use that on
Cindy,
stage. I like that.
You made an offer
but
to Jimmy.
My great-grandmother was an amazing, she was a chef in Poland when she came over. And
really?
She was amazing. I didn't realize what I was... I was eating these incredible meals.
I think Polish food, you got some real good stuff. Obviously,
so
pierogies.
Well, I think of pierogis, but right? I don't really think kielbasa, about Polish food as being...
Polska kielbasa,
Haluszka,
right?
Haluszki.
Yeah, that's good.
A quick story. I when I was little, I wasn't allowed to have... I love pets. I wasn't allowed to have pets. And lived in a strip. My great-grandma lived next door, and grandma lived down the street. And we lived within like two blocks. But so I'd eat after school at 3 o'clock, would already eat early dinner. My great-grandmother would cook, and she was a chef, and like she'd make these incredible dishes. I didn't realize I was a kid. My Uncle Ed would say, you're really going to love this when you're older. You're not going to realize what you ate. And he's right. But anyway, every Easter, right about 6 weeks, 5 weeks before Easter, my grandmother would have a duck in the apartment in front of the, by the refrigerator. And the duck...
Wait, inside the apartment?
Yes. I didn't know this, but the duck was to be made for chinina, which is duck blood soup.
Oh.
But I didn't know this, and I love chinina. What happened?
But you love the duck.
I didn't know this. Yeah, so I'm like nine, and my grandmother would give me all this duck feed to feed after school, and I would feed the duck every day. I couldn't wait to get home, and I'd name him every year, Melvin. I couldn't wait to get back to see Melvin and Ernie 1 year, and, you know... All these different, you know, names. And so I'd feed Melvin all this food. He's loved me. Melvin loved me. I fed him. No holds barred. What do you want to eat, Melvin? What do you want? I got you. So I'd feed Melvin. He's getting nice and fat. And then Easter, Sunday, my grandmother, great-grandmother, would be in this big pot. She'd be stirring it. And I didn't know Melvin. That was his fate. And I'd be like, Grandma, where's Melvin? Every year, she'd say, Uncle Ed took him to the farm, Sonny. He's living a great life. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so nice. You know, I thought, I miss him, but he's better life on a farm than in a strip, I thought, in a little apartment.
Or in the
I thought, this is so much better for him to be in the farm.
When did you find
12,
out?
Age 12. So 12 or 13, she sat me down and finally told me. And I was done, man. I couldn't
eat. Did you ever eat the soup again?
No. She told me because she's getting older, she said, and she wanted to teach me how to kill the duck. like right proper way to get the right vein, because clean blood and dirty blood. You got to get this vein here. And she's telling me this, and I'm like, wait a second.
That's Melvin.
That's Melvin. We're eating a Melvin. She goes, oh yeah, sonny. It's yeah. You don't use a lot of blood, just a little. I'm like, ah. I'm like, oh my god. I loved Chinina. Oh, I love Melvin.
That's a great irony.
This is how people become vegetarian.
Well, I was done. I didn't eat it again until maybe like about 8 or 9 years ago. I was at a Polish festival, like St. Stan's, and they had it. And I had to try. I said, you know what? I got to just do it, just to do it. It wasn't as good as grandma's.
It's never as good as grandma's.
Wasn't as good as grandma's.
Why can't restaurants duplicate?
But Melvin, yeah, I know. Well, Duck's Blitz, you don't see that on many menus. But it was Chinina. But it is a really good soup if you don't know it's Melvin. It was great for 4 or 5 years of my life.
You know what we got to do?
It's my favorite soup for 5 or 6 years.
We got to go back to Market District to a show, because Paul Abbott and those guys fed us like kings. And
oh, my God. Yeah. It's the best, right?
It's like you stayed in touch with Paul.
Yeah. He's my guitar player.
This is the guy that oversees Market District for Giant Eagle.
He's one of my guitar guys.
How nice they were.
Oh, my God. Like family. Love that place.
Oh, and the food was phenomenal.
Spectacular.
Are you a cook, Sheila?
No, not at all.
Does Andy cook?
He cooks some, yes. Between the two of us, we managed to make it work.
What I appreciate with the Market District is how Paul and his guests, they really take a serious Pittsburgh pride in the food there and how fresh it is and how, you know, it's like a lot of locally sourced foods, and the quality has always got to be just incredibly high. I don't know. I don't think you get that everywhere. But Giant Eagle's like that. I thought that's really interesting, really cool. Makes me want to shop there. Right? Well, I mean, seriously, yeah. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I love the Market Districts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, in case you just joined us. If you want to reach out, I just thought of this after 47 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Email us.
Yeah, if you want to get a Chinina recipe.
Larry@kdkradio.com. What was the food that disgusted you the most, Sheila, growing up?
Oh, I can tell you the story.
Yeah?
So, growing up, you had to, of course, eat everything on your plate. Sure. Now, you could take as much as you wanted, but once you put it on your plate, you had to eat it.
You
also had to have your vegetable every day. So it was a meat, a vegetable, and a starch. Okay. Kind of like you, Larry. It was an Irish household.
Yeah, Larry had his boiled potato.
Yeah, so
for me, it's bread, Cheez-Its, and Mike and Ike's now, but go ahead.
And Fish Stick Friday.
So my mother made boiled Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
Just boiled.
Not
that
a lot of kids yelling.
No
flavor, not a yellow
no
kids
spices,
yelling for that.
Nothing but boiled Brussels sprouts.
Hmm.
And so the six of us sat at the table and ate dinner. And I took one bite of Brussels sprout, put it in my mouth, and spit it out. And my mother said, "You will sit there and eat the Brussels sprouts until you are done with them."
Wow.
Oh, God.
And so 2 hours later,
you finished?
I was still at the table. Everybody else had left. The table had been cleaned up. The kitchen had been cleaned up. And I was still sitting there staring at my Brussels
sprouts.
Talk
to my wife. She had a similar experience.
Oh, well, see, here's the thing. I went 40 years before I tried another Brussels sprout.
I was going to ask.
So now if they're cooked the way I like them, like with a balsamic
bacon,
drizzle
honey,
or something. Yeah. Yes. They're wonderful.
Get some meat in there.
But yeah, that just ruined it for me. I mean, I just thought Brussels sprouts were the worst food on earth.
Not a lot of kids yelling for the boiled Brussels sprouts.
No.
They're not battling over the last
Brussels
sprout.
That's not the way to cook them.
No.
So how about you guys? What's the one food that you just would not eat when you were a kid, or maybe still won't?
I can't eat anything. It's weird. I'm a weird person. I eat I like airplane food. That's how weird I am.
There is no more airplane food. It's just
pretzels
and peanuts.
That's the first time I've ever heard that in my entire life.
I like cafeteria food. I'm weird. I like frozen food. I love it.
I eat a lot of frozen food, too.
Do you?
I love frozen food. I usually try to cook it first.
Do you guys remember?
TV dinners. I love it. I don't know why. So like, I'm trying to think. There's nothing I really can think of.
You never had an experience like that as a kid?
Yeah, I did. I'm
Mrs.
sure I did.
Paul's Fish Sticks.
Remember, yes. I'm sure it was something. Yeah, yes. Fish Stick Friday. Yeah. We save a Friday.
Mom used to say, fish is brain food. Apparently, I didn't eat enough.
There was probably no fish actually in it.
Well, we have four boys and then my sister. So we would decimate. Mom would go grocery shopping once a week.
Yeah.
And then when she came home, she would be angry because we'd be at, you know, wanted trade-off was chips and B&L French onion dip to get us out of the way while she put everything else. But my dad worked three nights a week, so he knew he was coming home. There wasn't going to be anything to eat, so he bought sardines.
Ooh, oh, wait. Ooh. I'm in. I don't like those. You're right.
You don't like sardines?
No.
No.
So Sheely Raskin, that'd be one. That'd be one I couldn't do. Anchovies and sardines I can't.
He would come in, and he would open up that can where there's a key, and as soon as he cracked the seal, the smell would waft through, and we'd be,
Can't do it.
And then he'd take great joy in the fact that that's the one thing we wouldn't eat.
See? So you ate everything, too.
He probably didn't even like it.
I just agree with you.
He got the ones
where they look like sardines.
Bait.
Yes. You can see a little head smell.
Yes.
I can't do it.
My dad used to put horseradish on
everything. Oh, he loved
everything.
That stuff. Limburger
on everything.
Once.
My great-grandmother.
Does that just ruin it?
Used to eat pig's knuckles.
Ugh.
Those are very popular.
She loved those things.
The Polish?
Yes. She loved
those
things.
That's a delicacy.
She had like wings or something. I'm like,
I didn't know
Grandma?
Pigs had knuckles.
I didn't
either. That's what I said.
But they're very delicious. I couldn't do it.
Do you remember?
Couldn't bite one even.
So we had Burger King and McDonald's, but there were fast food restaurants in Pittsburgh. You weren't here, Sheila, when they had, what was it, Sandy's?
Oh, God, Scotty's, Sandy's, Winkies.
You remember Scotty's and Sandy's?
Big Scott ate it all the time. Sure.
Sandy's. And then what was the other one?
Bent Winkies.
Burger. Winkies.
Winkies. Big Wink.
I love the name.
You never, you didn't have Winkies.
I love Winkies.
Out in Portland.
No,
there's no Winkies in Wilmerding.
We had Runza's in Nebraska.
What is it called?
Runza.
Runza. There you go.
Runza's.
There's no Winkies in Wilmerding or Portland. Remember that? That was commercial. No Winkies in Wilmerding. Loved Winkies. We should bring Winkies back. That'd be huge.
I mean, it was just a burger joint.
It was so good. I don't know why. Maybe I like it because I was a little
kid. Just the name. It's a great name.
Big
it's a great
Boy.
Name, isn't it?
Big Boys.
Yes.
We used to have those on the West Coast.
Did they?
Yeah, Big Boys at Ron, huh? Yeah.
And of course,
and Big Boys,
Eaton Park.
Eaton Park has a super burger.
It's like a sauce. It's the best.
It's close to the super burger, Big Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Okay.
As a baked potato, fry, and bun man.
Wait.
You were a bun man?
You worked there?
Yeah.
You were a bun man?
I was a bun man.
You had to work your way up, don't you?
What exactly did you
become
do?
Bun man.
So the steak guys, the guys that got all the girls.
Sure,
that
would be the...
They,
you know, well, Ponderosa.
Like,
that's
the
headliner.
The steak guys. I'm just the
you're just a bun
potato fry and bun guy.
But
and
love
then
buns.
I had the drink girl who I had to supply the buns to.
Sure.
And then I had to supply the steak with baked potatoes. So I still remember, you know, they would say bakers down, and I'd have to put a dozen baked potatoes, and I had to time them
really
because they take a while, like 40 minutes, 45 minutes to bake, and I had to have racks. And it was a lot of pressure.
My God, it would be.
Because I had to.
You were not just some bun guy.
No.
You're a potato guy.
I was just
guy
a bun
too.
Guy. Here's a crazy
blow the bun
so
guy.
They would say, baker's down. You take them. They're in the foil.
Right.
You take them out. And you do it fast because you got to move. And you would just slap it down, slice it from head to toe.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
And do the four-corner fold to puff it up.
Which
and
I
then
do
you
like.
Had a paintbrush with butter.
I'm all over that. I love it. Sounds
and
good,
then
actually.
You would stack them
Congrate
and slide
now.
Them down because the steak guys had to put them on a plate.
How often did you burn yourself?
I burned myself. And then the bun girl.
The bun girl.
There was a bun girl, too?
Well, no, I'm sorry.
A bun
she
girl
was
and a bun guy?
Girl. She had,
girl.
Not, but she ended up being Jocelyn Howell,
oh, really?
The executive producer of KDK TV News.
She was the drink
really?
Girl? She was the drink girl?
She's one of the reasons
Wait,
I got a job at KDK. So always be good to the drink girl.
Yes.
Because you never know where they're going.
Where they're going, they're
serious.
They're skyrocket.
You remember her? She was married to Phil Harris.
Amazing woman. Yeah, I love her. You know, is there someone below the bun guy? Was there a parsley guy or something like a garnish guy below you? Was there,
no.
Or were you kind of like the
garnish guy?
There had
were
to be someone.
The bottom,
was there
the
a napkin person?
Are you the garnish guy?
Yeah, was there someone lower? Is it like the bun guy and then the steak guys? Is like was there like a parsley guy or
I think
garnish
I was
guy? Or
pretty much the low guy on the rung as far as in the food service.
Right,
line.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Steak guys would be the king.
Oh, this. They were, you know. There's a guy, his
Your
name's Mark
line.
Shepard,
yeah.
Went to Notre Dame Law School.
He was a steak guy.
He was a steak guy.
Yeah.
He's a big-time attorney
steak
here in town.
Well.
By the way, you two are both steak guys now.
Thank you.
Yeah, well.
Just so
did
you know.
Pretty well.
You know what happened to me? It was discovered that I lied about my age, so
oh no,
I got dispatched. because I was too young to
not
work.
Not fired, but dispatched. I like
that. I don't know what that is. That's what that meant.
You get fired. You know, the manager called me in. He goes, Larry, how old are you? And I'm like,
12.
14.
Wow.
And he goes, you have to be 15 to work here. You can't work here.
You were a bun
So
guy.
Then I left Ponderosa, turned 15, went up the street to a brand new Eaton Park.
And you were a steak guy, right?
No, I was a cook.
Salad. Oh, you went to cook? You went all the way to cook?
I went to cook.
Yeah. Jeez, that's amazing.
And I remember...
From bun guy to cook. There's your book.
The Broadhurst family owns it now, but it was Larry Hatch, the founder, who walked in to take a look at his new restaurant, and he said to nobody in particular, we were standing like we were at attention,
right?
Anyone who works in a restaurant and goes home hungry is a fool. I'm like, all right, I'm done with that.
That's a good place to work.
It's true. There's probably a lot of food.
But then... You know, I was a cook, and I trained in McKee's Rocks, did 300 breakfasts one Sunday morning.
Wow.
300.
That's like a record. So do you
still cook?
No. The irony is, I was cured.
Oh,
Were you a good cook?
No.
Did people come in and go,
I
would like Larry's breakfast smile.
No. The waitresses are like, hey, you going to get my order? You going to stare at the window, look at the weather.
There you go. You found your calling.
Then I became a
years
weather.
Later, weather.
I just remembered you were getting Cindy cooking lessons for the two of you together because she wanted you to cook. So Larry's answer to that was, rather than cooking, is let's take a cooking class together. Not I'm going to get up and make you breakfast.
She gets kind of, she's told me multiple times, I think it's really romantic and sexy when you cook together. And
I think it is.
You know.
Very soulful.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with her, but I haven't done it.
You got to do that.
But
34 years.
Larry, you have the training.
Yeah, you were a bun guy and a cook. If anybody could do it, you could. You should do it.
A bun guy.
And a cook.
I'll never look at you the same again.
That's like Bruce Lee or something in the cooking industry. Bun guy and cook both. It's like, you know, a lot of different.
I can cut a potato.
It's a lot of things.
The next time we have the chance.
I bet you could.
I want you guys to come to the house. Jimmy, you bring one of your Bumble girls.
Okay.
Sheila, bring Andy.
I will.
You're coming to the house.
All right.
And I'm going to cook.
Oh, wow. You're going to cook everything?
Cindy's not going to help?
I didn't say that.
Can I be the bun guy at least?
We can at least bring a dish.
Let me be the bun guy.
We can do potluck.
I can do buns.
What's your specialty? Or what was your specialty 34 years ago?
No, I don't want to down the bun guy. I didn't say I could just do buns. I'm just saying you could teach me.
I do potatoes like nobody
else.
So
we're going to have potatoes and hot dogs.
You already had me hungry with that potato thing with
the four corner.
Steam coming off.
You still bring it?
I could still bring it.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be impressed.
I think we will.
I'm so in.
Just to have a meal.
Just as an advisory.
I'll bring some chinina.
Don't get the hot turkey sandwich.
Bring the duck.
Bring the duck.
Just bring Melvin.
The open face hot turkey sandwich. Well.
Not your thing?
Just because where the gravy... dish was right next to, so stuff would fall in from everything else.
Oh.
It wasn't bad. It was just some people would say, this is the best hot turkey sandwich I've ever had.
I eat everything.
Well, the parsley guy got a hold of the gravy.
Yeah, poor parsley guy's low, so low in the totem pole.
Favorite restaurant, Sheila, Pittsburgh.
Right now, I'd have to say it's Pusidi's Garden.
Where is that?
That is in Lawrenceville.
And you got to make a reservation months in advance?
You do. Months in advance.
D'Annoy is I can't get in the Strip. I ate there once when it opened. I heard it was great. What's so great about it?
A really unique food that you've never had before. They have a 17-ingredient salad, but it's not even like a salad. It's like a meal. And imagine 17 ingredients. I can't even tell you what's in it. And they mix it right in front of you. And the ambiance is just so...
Really?
Fabulous.
Like romantic, kind of. Yeah, you walk in and you go, I'm not in Pittsburgh, but you are.
That kind of place.
Yeah, that kind of place.
Jim?
Wild Rosemary, South Hills area.
Oh.
Kind of like up from St. Clair Hospital.
Amazing. I've been in there once.
Tremendous.
It was really good.
One of my favorites.
I'm a big Italian food guy. I like it because I was introduced to it later in life.
Sure.
So I really like the Italian food. You know, when we were in Italy, Jim, we didn't have a bad meal.
No. I still think of some of those meals. They were memorable meals. That's how good it was.
I like...
Memorable.
Tambellini's in Highland Park.
Yeah.
I still love that.
I like... trying to think of the other one that we used to go to.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Another one is Girasoli's in Shady Side.
Another great
That's
one.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Good, just good... Italian food.
Nate mentioned alla familia, which is amazing.
Alla familia, yeah. Which means all in the family.
And, by the way, they have an incredible steak there.
Remember remember we met the owner.
Yeah, it's like a char-grilled steak.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's something you wouldn't think necessarily going to an Italian restaurant. Right. Hey, I'm just going to get a steak. The other is old-fashioned Rico's.
Rico's is fantastic.
Yeah, I've been there many times.
I love that old school, you know, the way they treat you.
It feels like you're walking back into the 70s.
Their food is out of sight. And there was another place you took me to around here in Greentree.
Scolio's.
Love that place you took me. It's great.
Yeah, we went with
great
Andy
sauce.
And we Sheila,
did. Right? Was it good?
Altius, and of course you can't go wrong with Monterey Bay either, too, Altius for the view especially.
Well, Off the Hook is tremendous. Out another on the Warrendale exit, mm-hmm. and as far as fresh fish, it's not cheap, but it's outstanding. It's excellent. Now, there's a place in the Strip. What is that? That Penn Fish? Somebody just talked about it.
There's a place that the place I like is Robert Woolley Jr.
Woolley's
son.
Woolley's.
He owns it, and I think it's amazing for seafood. I love his his dishes that he creates. Robert Woolley Jr. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. But it's the fish something. I don't know.
Fish something.
Fish is in it, but it's just say where's Robert Woolley Jr.'s place. It's really. Yeah, it's an amazing meal. You know what's funny is I did a show. We did a charity show we did last year. I did a few this year at the Lamont, man. I got to tell you, I still love the Lamont, like just the ambiance.
Oh, my gosh.
Steaks are good.
It's gorgeous.
In terms of
it's just
aesthetic
a cool,
view.
Still one of my favorite cool
restaurants.
You can't
beat the Lamont.
I don't know. I just love the vibe of the place.
Man. Or Monterey Bay, because they have some great views, obviously. Sightline.
Absolutely.
There's some cool
spaces.
We
have some of the best restaurants in the country, man.
Me too.
I'm serious. I travel all over. I put Pittsburgh up again. Well, we were Zagat's. Is that how you say Zagat?
We were Zagat.
Zagat. We were like top three like
foodie
six, 7 years ago.
Visit.
I thought we were number one a couple of years ago.
We probably were, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Because, and I asked, I remember I interviewed for my other podcast, Jim Crane No Restrictions, a few years back. The person who, made the call for that or whatever, and she said, I said, why is Pittsburgh? Because there's New York, San Francisco, Pittsburgh. We're like top three or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. She said, well, a lot of chefs in New York, I guess, I don't know what you call the second chef. Is it a sous chef? Or sous, whatever, secondary
chef.
A lot of the chefs in New York, it costs $1 zillion to start your own restaurant. So if you're working with, like, say Larry is a top bun guy, right? So I'm the bun assistant. And one day, I want to make buns like Larry. I want to have a bun place like Larry. And so I say, I can't open in New York. It's so expensive. So somebody opened the pipeline up and said, hey, you know what? Pittsburgh's a wonderful city. You can open a place up for a fraction of that cost and
work on your craft.
You know, people are amazing here and you could have great, and all of a sudden they started to come here from New York and these upset San Francisco, and it's just so expensive in these areas. So we ended up getting these sous chefs that were working with these unbelievable chefs in themselves.
We have become
younger.
a foodie destination.
So we became somewhat of a foodie town in a way. So it's kind of cool, which we are if you think about all the cool little restaurants, right?
And people in Pittsburgh love to eat.
We do.
We should do a podcast from a restaurant every week.
I'm in.
I was thinking the same thing. We're on the same wavelength.
Let me work on that.
Work through my neighborhood of
Southside. Meanwhile, you're invited. Steamworks, Thursday, November 3rd. It's Beth Claussen's porch concert indoors for the first time ever. Jimmy Crenn will be singing. What do you got?
Brown Eyed Girl, we're going to do Sweet Caroline and Blue Suede Shoes.
I'm going to do a Don Henley song, Dirty Laundry, an homage montage to Tiny Tim. Sheila, you want to sing?
Yeah, I'll be singing. My D-I-V-O-R-C-E became final today.
Nice.
That's the opposite to Tiny Tim's song, his divorce song.
I like that.
Yeah, that was Tammy Wynette.
Can't wait. You got to see Larry's going to have the wig and all. For the Tiny Tim, right?
I'm going all out. That's Thursday, November 3rd. Steamworks, Route 8 in Hampton Township, John Bento's place, and we're looking forward to that. You can get our podcast on the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it today, a great resource, or kdkradio.com, or email if you have ideas for us for the future. maybe guests or questions you want us to answer, Larry@KDKRadio.com. Dick Roberts is our producer, Jim Patulski, our partner from Face for Radio Productions, Sheila Hyland, Jimmy Krenn. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bun Man.
Episode 47 is in the books. That's a wrap.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.